You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
NFL Power Rankings is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Happy New Year, everybody. It is our first 2024 edition of the NFL Power Rankings show presented to you by Energizer. From our studio in Los Angeles, my name is Andrew Siciliano. On the other side of the screen, at the home of the first pick of the 2024 NFL Draft, Eric Edholm, happy 2024 to you.
Yeah, all my neighbors seem very excited about that fact. Bears are playing well. Times are good around here.
Yeah, what's worth more, trading Justin Fields or trading the number one pick? Or maybe you do both. Who knows? Anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. And to nobody's surprise for the new year, the Baltimore Ravens, who mollywopped the Dolphins, are still number one, followed by the team they mollywopped last week, the 49ers, who are two, then the Cowboys, who are up three somehow, the Dolphins, who are down only one despite getting laughed at in Baltimore, the Lions are five, the Bills are six, the Browns are seven, and the Kansas City Chiefs are number eight. The team of the week, not surprisingly at home, the Baltimore Ravens. The team of the week is presented by Truist. They're the team of the week. They're the team of the year being 2024. I honestly, Eric, don't know who can beat them.
Yeah, that's the question we're sort of left to ask ourselves, right? You start with all these teams in playoff contention. You say, not that one. That one's already lost to them. And you go down the list, and it is hard to find them, right? We know the Browns have beaten. We know the 49ers got whipped by them a few weeks ago. Maybe a rematch in the Super Bowl looks a little different. But still, as you said, I just think the list is very small, and that's what makes them the clear-cut number one, even though I still feel like they are kind of in their own tier, with the 49ers being second, but not as far down as the number three team.
I know this is the Power Ranking show, not the MVP ranking show, but do we agree that Lamar locked up the MVP on Sunday? It's his.
I think it is. Yeah, he's sort of the big favorite now anyway. But yeah, people need to see that big performance. They got it 2 weeks ago against the Niners. They got it again Sunday against the Dolphins. So when you stack those big performances like that and you play the position he does, you start winning over the people who for years have denied that Lamar should be a second-time MVP. He's going to get it done this year, I suspect.
And they say it's going to be different than it was in 2019 when last he won the MVP. That's good. They are at home. They only have to play two games to get to Vegas. I just can't see anyone going in there. The only team that really has done that is the Browns this year. We'll get to them coming up in a second. The team that the Ravens ripped on Christmas night, Eric, let's get to them, are the one seed in the NFC. The 49ers wrapped their home field advantage up as well on Sunday because they won, and obviously the Eagles lost to the Cardinals. The Eagles are in the B block, TV term, of this show.
Wow.
We'll get to them in a second here. The 49ers have their injuries, though, which is what derailed them middle of the season for that three-game losing streak. They say McCaffrey's not that bad, but Eric, he's going to sit out week 18 because it means nothing.
Yeah, that's why I think it was so huge for for them to win, but also for the Philly aspect, for them to be able to clinch in week 17. They can go into this game, probably would have done it anyway, but they can go into this game knowing they don't need to play Christian McCaffrey. He'll have an additional week after that. You know, defense, offensive line, other spots. And it's another chance for Elijah Mitchell to get an opportunity. I mean, remember, he had a really nice rookie season, has been kind of lost in the shuffle since CMC came on board, but this is a player they may need to lean on at some point. So I think it's important for him to build off what he did last week. And again, I just felt like that clinching scenario last week was a nice little bonus, even though a lot of us figured it would eventually happen. So they get an extra week essentially to play with.
And now they get the Rams in week 18. The annual Rams-Niners week 18 game does not mean that much, although the Rams could fall to the 7 if they were to lose and the Packers were to win. Right now it looks like L.A., which is not in your top 10, understandably, but is in, could be going to Detroit in the first round. Detroit lost to Dallas, and the Cowboys are your number 3 team. They are up 3. So if Taylor Decker had reported properly, or maybe if Brad Allen had heard through the noise and gotten the call right and who was reporting properly, would they be up 3-3?
Yeah, I thought about moving Miami below Detroit. I couldn't quite do it. I mean, I have a thing about moving teams up after they lose. It can happen, right? But yeah, that's probably as close to a victory as you can come without actually winning. Everyone knows the story, controversial play. You know, some feel like the Lions were kind of jobbed on this thing, whatever the case. They went toe-to-toe with them, and Dallas is still a good football team. I want to remind people of that. I understand they lost a close one at Miami. I understand they got beaten pretty badly at Buffalo, but I still think with their road now changing, Philly losing in the NFC East, almost falling into their lap, so to speak, look, that benefits them greatly. We know how much better they've played this year, and last year for that matter, in Dallas as opposed to on the road. And so, you know, you've got, you know, Lamb breaking records. You've got Cooks coming up with clutch catches. So let's look at the other side of the coin, which is that Dallas played pretty well. And I think outplayed Detroit for more of that game than Detroit did.
And Mike McCarthy still did throw on second down, giving Dan Campbell an extra 40 seconds to then call the play to have the wrong guy report eligible. Take that back. The right guy reported eligible. The wrong guy was reported. You get what I'm saying? We've talked this thing out 1,000 times. But what it does mean is that if the Cowboys, as you point out, hold serve here and they beat the Commanders, they do get the 2 seed and they don't have to go on the road until potentially they get that 2-1 NFC Championship game in San Francisco against a team that whooped them 2 months ago in San Francisco. So the Cowboys are 3. The Dolphins are down 1-4 after getting just demoralized in Baltimore. Yeah. The Bills are 5. I'm sorry, the Lions are 5. But let's look at 4-6 here, because the Bills are 6. And we get the Dolphins and Bills again. This is the final game of the year on NBC on Sunday night. It's for the AFC East title. If the Dolphins win it, obviously they are the 2 seed here. But if the Bills lose it, Eric, there's a chance they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I've kind of held back from promoting them all the way up to number 3. I've even seen them on other power rankings as high as number 2 ahead of the Niners. So, you know, I mean, look, I get how dangerous this Bills team is, but there's also a scenario where they miss out. Yes, there's a scenario where they get a home playoff game too. So many permutations at stake here, such a wide swing and a wide range of outcomes. So, you know, again, it fits in line with the season. They've been living on the razor's edge all year long. We've seen Josh Allen torch people the last 2 weeks, kind of come back to earth a little bit. And I don't know how much that first meeting matters, but it was only a close game for about 20 minutes. And then the Bills absolutely boat raced them. So, you know, does Jalen Ramsey help in covering Stephon Diggs, who killed him in that first matchup? Does, you know, do any of the other players who are missing from that matchup affect the outcome? Probably yes, and I think we'll get a closer game, but fascinating one for sure.
I'll be honest with you, I don't have a lot of faith in the Dolphins. I've said it all year. They had another chance against a premium opponent. The Ravens are the best team in football, and they got whooped. I mean, they were close in the first half. The second half was just demoralizing, and then you lose Bradley Chubb. Now, the Bills... nightmare scenario for those who need to know goes like this. If the Steelers win, the Jaguars win to take the AFC South, and the Texans and Colts do not end in a tie, then the Bills need to win the division and beat the Dolphins to get in. Because if those other things happen and they lose, then the Buffalo Bills, who some think could and should win the Super Bowl, will be out. All right, let's double back to the Lions here. You don't have them moving. They are still your fifth best team, although that loss was really deadly to them when it comes to their playoff standings.
Yeah, obviously a lot of people are talking about what it means to the city to have one home playoff game, but the difference between one and two potentially would obviously be huge as well. So, you know, a lot of things have gone right for Dan Campbell since that awful start last season. He has turned this thing around. He probably had a game that he should have won on Sunday. Do they use this as fuel? Do they use this as motivation, the us against the world type of thing? Perhaps, but... all the good things that came out of that game, Goff's great final drive, Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown's fake punt, a lot of good stuff just wasn't there in the end though. And, you hope the results are better for them because, the arrow has been pointing up so high for them.
All right, let's get to the best team in football at home here. And they are seven in your rankings. And that would be God's team, the Cleveland Browns. They are the only team in the NFL to beat the two teams with home field. They beat the Niners and they beat the Ravens. And they did, they beat the Ravens in Baltimore. Yet you have them at only seven. I've been cheating on you, I'll be honest. I looked at somebody else's power rankings. Site that rhymes with Mathletic. They are number three, yet you have them seven. Wow. Is it about me?
It is. Every week I try to slip in at least one barb in your direction. And the Browns thing has been working so well, I wanted to ride it until we get off the rails here. But in reality, I mean, obviously they've had losses to the Rams where, Flacco's first start and they were just getting adjusted. I don't think Flacco's interceptions have hurt them yet. He's got a fairly beefy total through his five games, but at some point they might. Now you got to live with the low completion percentage at times. You got to live with the fact the run game may not be there every single week, but again, they're, like you said, when it comes to those elite matchups, they've been able to stand toe-to-toe with some of the best. And I think if there's one team the Ravens, I wouldn't say fear, but no, can come into their building and do it, it's the one that's already done it in Cleveland. So, I'm prepared to be proven wrong on this one. I do have slight reservations, but to me, the difference between three and about nine really isn't that big right now.
I'm kidding. It's not about me. I don't know why I made it about me.
It is.
It isn't. I'm not the host that always makes it about himself. But they are a team that I think could beat anybody. And they did beat the Niners and they did beat the Ravens. They're the only team in the NFL that beat both of those teams. Granted, when they beat the Ravens in Baltimore, it was with Deshaun Watson. He played a perfect second half, didn't have an incompletion, rallied them back. The defense helped a little bit. And that was his final game of the year because it was revealed 2 days later that he had a broken shoulder. The Browns are the five seed. They cannot move. They will be on the road wildcard weekend at whomever wins the AFC South, which will be the Jaguars. They are winning in. And if it's not the Jaguars, then it's the winner of the Colts and Texans game on Saturday. And then we get the Kansas City Chiefs. Eric, they are number eight. They put together a second half when it looked as if all was lost. They beat Jake Browning of the Bengals, and they are up one as AFC West champions.
Yeah, small move up. Yeah, they were good. Obviously, Bucker was great in the second half. Defense didn't allow a touchdown the last 36 minutes or so. Isaiah Pacheco, I really think he's got to be a bigger part of the offense. I know he missed a game a couple weeks ago, but if he's back, I mean, look, no offense to Patrick Mahomes in the passing game. We saw Rice do some good things. Watson had a big play, but really has to be about Pacheco. He really took control of that game early on and made his imprint and helped finish it off in the second half. So I'd love to see him be a 25-touch guy going forward.
The Chiefs are locked in as the three seed in the AFC, and I think eight feels right because they have now won eight consecutive AFC West crowns. They will play the sixth seed in the AFC wildcard weekend, which could be the Dolphins, by the way, if the Bills win that game in Miami. Wouldn't that be bonkers for a wild card game? You know who we haven't hit on yet? The Philadelphia Eagles, the defending NFC champions. For the first time all year, they are not in the A block of this show. Where are they? That's revealed next on the NFL Power Ranking Show presented by Energizer. It is the NFL Power Ranking Show presented by Energizer. Again, the QR code on the left of your screen can get
to NFL.com and get you the rest of the rankings, which have the Eagles for the first time all year. This is week 18, dropping out of our first portion of the show. They are now number 9. They are down 5 spots after losing at home to the Fighting Jonathan Gannons. And then the Rams at 10, the Texans at 11, Rams are in, Jaguars, Colts, Bucks, Steelers, and the Green Bay Packers. Ed Holm, if you had told me 6 weeks ago that the Tuesday of week 18, Nick Sirianni would be on the radio in Philadelphia being asked about his job status, I would have laughed at you.
I'm laughing at you right now because, first of all, I can't believe it's still happening, but you're right. Obviously, it's been a horrible December. 1-4 record, outscored by 42 points over that span, 1-2 at home. And I don't care how you spin Sunday's loss. You know, Jonathan Gannon knows their personnel, blah, blah, blah. Look, I thought that was obviously horrible, especially having the lead, you know, scoring a 99-yard defensive touchdown, the whole bit. And now Devontae Smith's injured. I mean, we don't know his status right at this moment. The run defense is supposedly a team strength, has been really tested the last 3 games, especially Sunday. James Conner absolutely ate him up. So a host of problems. Now, a year ago, they weren't playing their best football in December, but they cranked it back up for the playoffs. Can they do it again? Sure, but we just haven't seen much evidence of it in the last 5 weeks. It's been bad football by a very talented team.
Yeah, and they're going to have to go on the road now, obviously, barring something truly unforeseen where the Cowboys lose and they win and we can flip it again in the NFC East. They're going to go on the road, and they're going to go on the road to the 4 seed, the NFC South champion. So you could have, like, Philly and Tampa, which is what we had a couple of years ago when Hurts was just a kid. Yep. You could have Philly in New Orleans. You could have Philly in Atlanta. I mean, imagine that for a wild card game. Right now, the Eagles haven't proven they could beat good teams or bad teams in the last month, so they got to turn things around. They are number 9. The team behind them is exactly the opposite right now. They are beating good teams and bad teams, although probably a little bit too close for comfort with the Giants this past Sunday. At home, the Rams are in. They are in the postseason, and they are number 10 this week.
Yeah, we didn't even know it when the game ended, right? And eventually they secure the playoff spot. The last 3 games have been a little bit bizarre where they've gotten out to big leads, had to kind of hold on for dear life, especially Sunday. Came down to a kicker they know pretty well, and Mason Crosby had him in, and, you know, highlights their kicking issues too. They've got to make another move there. It's obviously been a big problem for weeks now. But don't forget, I mean, they went toe-to-toe with the Ravens in Baltimore, played them very well, went to overtime. This is a team that has been super competitive. Kyren Williams coming back, huge difference. Puka Nacua all season long. I love so many elements about this team, including Matthew Stafford, who, you know, you and I were talking about, what about if he had to go to Detroit? I think he'd handle himself great. I think he'd be outstanding in that spot.
Yeah,
he might have to. You're right. There are flaws, but something fascinating about this team that I don't think will be an easy out in any way possible.
No, nobody wants to play the Rams, period. Yeah. Maybe the Lions do. They would love it. I think they would welcome that challenge and those two quarterbacks going back at it here. But Kyren Williams has 15 touchdowns in 12 games. He has been hard to stop. The Rams, if they had a kicker, I mean, they might be looking at the 3 seed right here.
Yeah.
Obviously, that would mean winning the division and beating the 49ers, but they have missed 15 kicks this year. 15.
It's insane.
Field goals and extra points. That is just bonkers. Tell you what, another team, Eric, nobody wants to play, the Houston Texans. Now that C.J. Stroud is back, you have them at 11.
Yeah, past the eye test, I thought. I mean, just watching him back, everything seemed to flow much more rhythm than it had with his replacements in there. So I think they go into this game against the Colts with a little bit of an edge because Stroud is back. He ripped him for almost 400 yards in week 2, his second NFL game. So, you know, it's the most they've given up to anybody in the NFL this season. I think he'll come in prepared, but Colts are tough too. I mean, this is not a Texas team that goes out and dominates people on the regular. So fascinating to see if he can rally them on the road in a huge game in week 18.
Yeah, this game in September was so much different here. You have the Texans ahead of the Jaguars and the Colts at 12 and 13. The Jaguars are winning in. They get the division. If they lose, however, then the winner of the Texans and the Colts will take the AFC South. The Bucs are at 14. They are down 4 because they could not close out the NFC South. And then the Steelers, who are going with Mason Rudolph, who are somehow still alive, are number 15 at home, up 2.
Unbelievable. I had them dead and buried, I'll be honest, right? I really didn't expect them to crack this part of the list here. Mason Rudolph's played well. The question is, why didn't he go instead of Trubisky in the first place? You can hold that against Mike Tomlin fairly, I think. But Tomlin, obviously, with the win, 9-7, guarantees yet another non-losing season. Only a few guys in NFL history have had more consecutive non-losing seasons. And he's done it from the start of his head coaching career. I get it. Haven't had a playoff win in a while. But he's found a way to motivate them late in the season. Is it too late? We'll see. But again, another pretty good late season coaching job, even if there have been a lot of issues along the way. And this quarterback situation, Andrew, is just fascinating to me.
Yeah, isn't it? It's also fascinating that seemingly now the Packers have found their guy, because Jordan Love was just slinging it all over the yard on New Year's Eve. He was your New Year's Eve fireworks. And the Packers are win and in now, week 18, Eric.
Pretty big one, right? Bears, they met in week one. We know the history there. Justin Fields is playing well. Love, as you mentioned. So, obviously, Jordan Love, I don't think it's gotten the respect nationally. Obviously, missing passes early in the year. 30 touchdowns now. He's getting everything going. One of the best statistical seasons by a Packers rookie ever. Yeah, it's all there for them when we didn't think it was possible. Jair Alexander misses. The defense played well last week, so again, another team that's been topsy-turvy but has the firepower to get in the playoffs and in this massive game on Sunday on CBS.
Speaking of topsy-turvy, how about the NFC South? Rules dictate somebody has to win it and somebody gets a home playoff game. How about the Bucs and the Saints? Where are they? How do we make sense of them? Coming up on the NFL Power Rankings Show presented by Energizer. The NFL Power Ranking Show presented by Energizer continues here with the Saints up 6 after ruining the Buccaneers party. They are 17. Bengals 18, Hawks 19, Bears are at 20, Vikings, Broncos, the Raiders, and then the Falcons at 24, who somehow might host a playoff game wild card weekend. The team making power moves, though, up 6. Those power moves are presented by Energizer. Are the New Orleans Saints. The Buccaneers had a chance. The Saints just ruined it for them, Eric.
Yeah, they sure did. I probably admittedly had them a little too low. Outside of that Rams game, they played pretty good football. I know wins over the Giants and Panthers don't get people all that lathered up. Almost beat the Lions, though, remember. So you pair that with a pretty dominant first three quarters against the Bucs, and it reminds you, they have a defense. They have Derek Carr, who looked pretty good on Sunday. They have Juwan Johnson, the guy we've been wanting to break out this season. He did on Sunday. So still an open door, obviously. They need a little luck, but there is a path for them to get into the postseason. I mean, we'll see. They've at least timed it up where they played their best football when they absolutely had to have it.
It's not actually that difficult a path here for them to get in. They win the South. Yeah. If they beat the Falcons and the Buccaneers lose to the Panthers, although that seems unlikely, they also have a path in as a wild card. They are 17. The Bengals are 18. The Seahawks are down 3-19. They also have a pretty clear path into the postseason, but that was not a good look for them against the Steelers at home.
It was a lot clearer had they taken care of business. Win and then win in 18, they would have been okay. Instead, they lose, and they lose it. They lost the physical battle, which, again, for Pete Carroll, can't sit very well. I think he's always sort of prided his teams on being more physical up front. Didn't see it Sunday. We saw the Steelers really get that run game cranking early. And then the one crucial turnover in the second half, Geno Smith sacked deep in their own end zone. Just couldn't get enough going here. So there are a lot of things to like about this Seahawks team. We saw the Drew Lock step in last week and have an emotional game. This one didn't turn out quite as well. And so I'm not sure what to make of this team. They've been outscored on the season, have some things working against them. They got to get that defense tightened up if they have a shot.
They are in the wild card waiting room in the NFC. If the Packers win, they are in. If the Packers were to fall, the Seahawks could get in with a win over the Cardinals. The rest of the power rankings here real quick. 25 on down. The Jets, the Titans, the Chargers, the Giants, the Arizona Cardinals, the New England Patriots, the Washington Commanders, and then the Carolina Panthers, who are, they are, guarantee the worst record of the NFL. And as mentioned earlier, Eric, those fireworks on New Year's Eve in Chicago were because the Bears wrapped up the number one pick.
So that's what was getting everybody, keeping everybody awake. Yes. I got you now. Yeah, the arrow's pointing up for Matt Eberflus, for Justin Fields, for Chicago Bears draft fans. I mean, they've played their best football down the stretch. They have a ton of ammunition, but also a lot of key decisions. What do they do with Justin Fields? I say they keep him. Not sure where you stand.
We have 4 months to figure this out. I'm not going to commit to an answer right now, but I can't commit to this. We're back for the playoffs. This isn't the final show. We're going to rank them in the playoffs. We are back. Super Wild Card Week next week. For Eric Edholm, I'm Andrew Siciliano. Happy New Year, everybody. So long.
NFL Power Rankings is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.